Welcome to Hit Bullseye's podcast, Big Bull Ki Paathshala. We help students realize their career dreams. Thank you for tuning in and making your choice to succeed in your career.
Welcome to Hit Bullseye's podcast, where we are trying to keep you ahead of competition by sharing current affairs, tips for various exams, and interviews with eminent speakers. Make sure you follow the podcast and share this episode with your friends who are preparing for any competitive exam. I am Nitika, and in today's episode, we are going to cover depreciation of Indian currency.
In May 2022, our Indian currency saw an all-time low in comparison to the US dollars. It is rupees 77.44 against $1. Our foreign exchange reserves have fallen by 45% in the last 8 months, and we have witnessed it from the mid of the March when for the first time our currency started to depreciate. Firstly, let us understand what does this depreciation of currency means. Before that, let us understand what is the foreign exchange rate. The foreign exchange rate is the rate at which one currency is exchanged with the another currency. So what happens is that sometimes when one currency is undervalued or overvalued against the other currency, it is called the depreciation or the appreciation of currency. So firstly, the depreciation of Indian rupee is a fall in the value of a currency in the floating exchange rate system. So a rupee depreciation means that the rupee has become less valuable with respect to the dollar. It also means that now Indian rupee is weaker than the US dollars if we talk about the international markets. Now, if the Indian rupee is depreciated, then on the other hand, the American dollar is appreciated, which states that the appreciation is the increase in the value of one currency in relation to the another currency. So, the currency appreciates against each other for a variety of reasons. But before jumping on to that, let us understand this phenomena more deeply with an example. So looking at one scenario, when the US dollar is equals to rupee 50. Now here, what happens is when $1 equals to rupee 50. Now let us take a hypothetical situation when one Indian is visiting US for the vacation and he tends to buy one t-shirt which is worth rupee $5 there. Now, if an Indian resident is paying in USA, definitely he is going to be paying 250 rupees for one t-shirt, which states that technically, he is paying $5 in USA by actually reducing 250 rupees from his account. On the contrary, if an American resident is on a vacation in India and he wants to buy, let's say, a sunscreen which is worth here rupees 250, so the American will be technically spending $5 on it. Now, let us understand what happens when one US dollars equals to rupees 60, which means earlier it was rupees 50 and now it turns to be rupees 60 per US dollars. So here, again, if we take the same example, the American resident, when he visited in our country and tends to buy the sunscreen, but now as we know that with the same 250 rupees, again, he is going to spend only $4, right? Whereas, if an Indian who was visiting the USA to buy the same t-shirt, now he has to spend 300 rupees from his pocket, which means that our Indian rupee becomes less valuable in terms of dollars, or it has become more expensive if we talk about the US dollars. So the same happens when we talk about our exports and imports. So when the American dollar appreciates, or let's just say the Indian rupee depreciates, it gets cheaper for the US consumers to get the foreign goods imported to their nations, which means that US imports will go higher. And on the contrary, the US goods will become more expensive in the other country, which makes the US goods becomes more expensive. So here, if I see that a US citizen will be importing goods from India, but the Indians will not be importing goods from USA as it will be more expensive for them, which makes Indian exports goes up and Indian imports goes down whenever the rupee depreciates. So moving on further, what happens when this dynamism changes? Which means, let us take another example of when the US dollar 1 is equals to rupees 40. So taking up the same example as before, so earlier the sunscreen was costing around $4 when the rupee was depreciated. But here, when it turned rupees 40, as you can see here, when it turned rupees 40, so here the lotion, the sunscreen is going to cost $6 to the American resident. And on the contrary, that t-shirt is going to cost merely rupees 200 to the Indian who is visiting USA. So this is the time when the Indian currency appreciated in terms of US dollars. How? Because earlier when we had an arrangement when $1 was equating rupees 50, at that time the shirt was costing $5, right? Or you can say shirt was costing 250 rupees to an Indian when he was visiting USA. And now the same shirt is costing merely 200 rupees to Indian resident. On the contrary, the American resident who was visiting India and buying the lotion, earlier he was paying $5 for the lotion, but now he has to pay $6 to the lotion, right? So what does this mean? It means that now India's exports are going to be costly, right? Which means that India's exports are gonna go down. On the contrary, because now for us, the foreign goods are going to be cheaper. So we are going to import more goods from the USA, right? So I hope I made this clear to all of you. What is the difference between the appreciation and the depreciation of currency, and how our exports and imports are impacted by it? However, this currency exchange rate is not as simple as we think of it as. This is purely based on the demand and supply of the currency. Now, let us take an example. So, what happens when you demand more of the American currency, right? For example, we are taking or we are attracting the foreign capital, or a foreign company wants to invest in your company. So in short, we tends to buy, or let's just take it otherwise, that we need more dollars to make a purchase. You want to buy some fancy car, so you need more US dollars, which has increased the demand for dollars in India as compared to the demand of Indian rupee. So whenever the demand for a currency goes up as against your own currency or your domestic currency, it is going to appreciate the foreign currency as compared to your domestic currency. So, the demand and supply of currencies plays crucial role in settling this exchange rate. And this exchange rate system is what we call as the floating exchange rate system. However, there are some countries which are currently pegging their currency with each other, right? For example, there are some countries in the world which fix up a certain range within which they want to keep their exchange rate system. So let us take an example of the Chinese government. So Chinese are usually into this kind of arrangement when they actually peg their currency against the dollar to keep it in a certain range. So what they do is, for example, when the US consumers imports goods from China, it appreciates the yuan currency. Of course, as we have discussed it previously, that when the demand for your currency increases in the international market, it will appreciate. So when the USA is demanding more goods from China, they will have to pay Chinese companies in yuan, which ultimately increased the demand for yuan. So technically, it will appreciate the yuan currency in comparison to the US dollar. But at that time, the Chinese government, they turn around the table by buying the dollars in the international market. So this way, they are artificially creating the demand for the dollars in international market. So going previously, increasing the demand for dollars in the international market, it will depreciate the yuan currency as compared to the dollar. So earlier, because of exports, the yuan currency was appreciating. But now when the Chinese central bank started to buy the dollars, it will depreciate the yuan currency. So they try to strike a balance between appreciation and depreciation, and it continues till the time they attain a certain range. So this is how the Chinese government plan and they control their exchange rate mechanism. So this type of mechanism is also called as dirty float, or sometimes called as the managed floating, right? So now let us understand six reasons why, or basically we can state that what are the factors which affect the exchange rate mechanism. So firstly, we have the inflation rates. So technically, the changes in the market inflation cause the changes in the currency exchange rates. Ideally, a country with the lower inflation, they have more purchasing power than the country with higher inflation rates, which of course means that if you have higher purchasing power, your currency value will be more appreciated or has the tendency or potential to be more appreciated in the near future than the country with already exhausting its all potentiality of the purchasing power. So even recently, our RBI has also said that with every 5% depreciation in the value of Indian rupee will cause around 10 to 15 basic points increase in our inflation, which is not really a good sign. Secondly, let's talk about the interest rates. So, of course, the increase in the interest rates, they cause a country's currency to appreciate. Now, the interest rates, the foreign exchange rates and inflation, they are correlated with each other. So ideally, when the interest rates goes up, the lenders will have higher returns, which attracts the foreign capital. And when the foreign capital is more, or you can say when we are able to attract higher foreign capital, our exchange rate will also go high. However, this high interest rate benefits can be mitigated if the country is already suffering from the higher inflations, or maybe there are some additional factors which are causing the economy to go down. So it can definitely be swayed easily if the additional factors are already going around in your economy. So the subsiding of the benefits of higher interest rates are quite possible. So the next point which we are going to discuss is the country's current account or the balance of payment. So firstly, let us understand what is the current account. So it is basically an account of all the transactions which records the exports and imports between the trading partners, right? So current account deficit, we say when the payments to imports are higher than the receipts to the receipts from the exports, right? So as we know that, you know, a deficit in the current account due to the spending more of its currency on the importing products than it is earning through the sale of exports, it causes a depreciation. Of course, when we know that we are spending more on the imported goods, but we are receiving less from the exported items, technically it means that we are demanding more of a foreign currency than our currency's demand for buying the goods. So, which ideally states that our currency's value has to be depreciated. So, even now, this scenario is happening in our country, which is one of the prime reason behind the depreciation of Indian rupee. Then next is government debt. A country with government debt is less likely to acquire the foreign capital, which leads to inflation. So government debt is the debt which is taken or which is, you know, borrowed by the central government. Sometimes the foreign investors, they are quite reluctant in investing in those countries which are high on the risk defaulting, or maybe they are about to default in any of its obligations, which is why the foreign investors always rely on the credit rating agencies for what credit ratings they have given to the countries. So we have many credit rating agencies in the world which are currently giving their credit ratings, and even many countries, like even in India, we follow these lists, we follow these reports before making any portfolios in the investments. So then next is political stability and performance. Ideally, a country is said to be fully important, or a country is said to be in a full performance when it is politically and economically stabilized. Even the foreign investors will be attracted and will be investing only in those nations which are doing or performing well in the economic front and they are politically stable. So countries sometimes even divest their money whenever they see any political turmoils going on in the nations. And currently we are seeing such situations in Russia and Ukraine, where the countries are now pulling back their money from these big economies because of the political turmoils. So this plays a key role in the investment portfolio. Then the last but not the least we have is the terms of trade. So the term of trade defines the ratio between the price of the export items and the import items. So whenever the price of the export items is actually growing at a faster rate than the price of the imported items, it is said to be a favorable terms of trade. So a favorable terms of trade means that we are receiving, or we are actually, you know, on a higher front, we are actually on a receiving end than the payment end, which will appreciate our currency. So the terms of trade is actually important for the country like us to be favorable towards many nations, towards other nations in the world, so that our currency remains strong and appreciable. Right? coming to the last segment of this topic, what is going to be the impact on the economy? So definitely this depreciation is going to widen the current account deficit. So by current account deficit, we have already discussed, it means there is going to be a gap in the payments for imports and the receipts from the exports, and this will further make a negative impact on our foreign exchange reserves. The foreign exchange reserves, they are ideally the foreign assets which are held in the liquid form, and they act as an insurance to the RBI, to the central bank, which is used against the financial shocks. So currently the state of foreign exchange reserve states that if, you know, the need be arises, currently we have $600 billion of the foreign exchange reserves, which are ideally, only be able to finance the import of up to 1 year. So of course, this situation is pushing India towards the cost push inflation, which means the raw materials or the, from the production line, the inflation is going to be really high. And even we know that not the entire burden can be lifted to the consumers to pay off this cost push inflation. So ideally, this is also going to increase the fiscal deficit in the nation. During pandemic, of course, due to low consumption, due to low crude oil prices, the situations were favorable and our foreign exchange reserves were also high. But now the post-COVID recovery scenarios are actually changing the paradigm of Indian economic ratios and even our economic indicators, which clearly shows that we are not ready for the fully speedy economic recovery. And even according to the current inflation rates, interest rates, and now the exchange rates, RBI is late to play the catch up to, as far as the interest rates are concerned, to hold back or to settle down the inflation. So going forward, the outlook is currently not too good as far as the economy is concerned. So really not good time to invest in our country, right? So this is Nitika signing off. If you really like the video, please hit the like button, subscribe, and share it to your friends. Thank you so much, everyone.